Guns N' Roses broke at the end of the glam metal, sometimes known as hair metal era. At the end of that era, that's when Guns N' Roses kind of really came out. Their sound heralded a return to a more grittier sound in rock several years before really grunge came calling. Their album, Appetite for Destruction, took the rock world by storm, not at first, but eventually did, and made household names out of people like Axl Rose and Slash, you know, virtually overnight. On this week's Ludini Rock and Roll Circus, we take a look back at this classic album and impact that it made on music, resonating with fans and musicians to this very day. Get ready, guys, to rock out with your talk out.
You're listening to the Ludini Rock and Roll Circus, changing rock history one podcast at a time.
All right, everybody, welcome back. It is the Ludini Rock and Roll Circus. My name is Lou Lombardi, a.k.a. Ludini. You can go to loulombardirocks.com, where really that's the central hub now, where you can find out about the podcast, the community, as well as the music. loulombardirocks.com, check it all out there. We will be, I think we're going to. You going to do a little partying afterwards tonight? Maybe a little bit. So go to loulombardirocks.com, check that out. Give a shout out to our longtime listener, sponsor, great all-around guy, great supporter of the Ludini Rock and Roll Circus. That is Wolf's Customs. All Wolf's. Wolfies. All Wolfie. You make such pretty guitars. Wolf's Customs.online. Chris Underwolf Dodson does is he does guitar modifications, and specifically with the refinishes. He can do these like really awesome refinishes, custom paint, things like that, that really make what you're doing on the guitar like really stand out to the audience. So, you know, you can get up on stage with your boring old, you know, red, green, blue, whatever guitar. But if you get Chris to do a custom paint job on it, you stand out there, you put on a great show. It really catches people's attention. Something you want to check out. You want to go to wolfscustoms.online and talk to my man, Chris Thunderwolf Dodson. Tell him Ludini sent you. In the house with us, as always, is the lovely and talented Miss Lily V6 from Rock Rage Radio. And a shout out to Rock Rage Radio for making us part of the family. You can probably listening right now on Rock Rage. I believe still Sundays at noon. And so, yes, thank you to Rock Rage Radio. We are on Rock Rage Radio live on Facebook. We go live pretty much every Tuesday night. I think next week is going to be Monday because we have a thing.
There's a thing.
When there's a thing, we got to swap days. So, anyways, we got Lily V6. Lily, what's going on?
Oh, hi. How's it going?
It's just ducky.
Just ducky. So, Horror Realm Convention was over the weekend, which was awesome. Sorry.
You got your picture with the Terrifier.
I did get my picture with the Terrifier, which was super exciting. And I also saw a little bit of Mr. Jimmy, Zeppelin tribute on Friday as well. He puts on a great show. He also works with Jason Bottom's band. So he's a pretty awesome guitar player.
Mr. Jimmy. That's cool. Speaking of horror, I got the Witch Trilogy, the Dario Argento Witch Trilogy from Amazon this week, and Suspiria, Inferno, and Mother of Tears. I watched Suspiria over the weekend, and I had forgotten what a great movie that is. It's like just absolutely fantastic. If you are familiar with the remake that they did last year, they really have very little in common. It's the same setting and same kind of like general idea, but all the action and everything is really completely different. The original from 77 is, believe it or not, more action-packed and faster-paced, which is odd to say from a movie from 77.
Yeah, I heard the new one is slow.
The new one is very slow. You could take an hour out of the new one, and it would still, you know,
it would still make sense.
Yeah, it would totally make sense. That, yeah, it's just way too long. We could talk about that at another time. I like the remake, but I definitely like the original a lot better. So, I got a chance to check that out. I did play a show with Mark Shuttleworth on Friday night as sort of a backup guitar player with him. That was a lot of fun. So we're going to be talking about Appetite for Destruction tonight. So, you know, giving you guys a little chance to kind of brush up on your Appetite notes there. So we're going to play a song. We always do bands first. So tonight we've got four really great bands. We've got Black Laurel, we've got Revolution Highway, and Storm Dragon and Lou Lombardi Strangelove. So we are going to start out with some Black Laurel. Keith the Hawk Hawkins is on drums on this. Heard this a few weeks ago, fell in love with it. It's called Mom's Hotel on the Ludini Rock and Roll Circus.
Chief, I got it.
Copy that. What's your location?
Mom's Hotel.
I did the same thing when I played it the first time. I looked at the door when I heard that knocking. That's Black Laurel.
I always look at the door anyway.
Keith the Hawk Hawkins on drums. I really think that is such a cool jam. It is a very, and
groovy.
I think that they know that realize it's reminiscent of ZZ Top. If you have not seen the ZZ Top documentary on Netflix, you should watch it. This is it's the only rock doc that I have seen where there's like no drama.
Well, yeah, because it's ZZ Top.
They're all cool with each other.
They're all
and
laid
it's very,
back.
Yes, and it's very fun and funny and uplifting. So if you haven't seen it, check it out. A lot of fun. A lot of great music in it. They jam for you and everything. But anyways, that's Black Laurel. Facebook.com/Black Laurel Band. Shout out to my brother Keith the Hawk Hawkins on the drums. laying it down on the skins. So, Appetite for Destruction.
Wow.
And so, yeah, it's a record. It came out. It's by Guns N' Roses.
It did?
Yep. And so what are we going to talk about next? No, I'm just kidding. So what do you got?
Have a little background, and for each song, I have some tidbits.
Tidbits.
Per song, so we could go track by track.
Is that like tidbits? Is it like kibbles and bits?
Yeah, sure. Whatever blows your dress up.
What you talking about, Willis?
Depending on your day. So Appetite for Destruction, debut studio album released July 21st, 1987 by Guns N' Roses on Geffen Records. It was released to little mainstream attention that year, but the following year became a massive commercial success.
Yeah, it was not real big
at first
when it first broke. Yeah,
they had to tour first.
I remember hearing like whispers about this thing, and a buddy of mine who was at U of M, he was at the University of Michigan, was like, "Man, have you heard this band Guns N' Roses? They have this song called Welcome to the Jungle." Like, I only heard it like one time, but like, oh, it was so cool, and like we couldn't hear it. It wasn't real big. Like when
not
it first
for
broke.
The first year, they had to actually tour first and receive airplay before it became commercially successful in what it is today. It topped Billboard 200 and became the best-selling debut album of all time and the 11th best-selling album of all time in the United States. Over 30 million copies sold worldwide.
Million.
And as of September 2008, the album had been certified 18 times platinum by the Recording Industry of America, meaning it sold 18 million copies in the U.S. alone. The rest of it was around the world. Excuse me. I'm losing my voice, so if I sound like a frog, sorry.
We'll go find it for you.
Thanks. It was re-released as a remastered box set in 2018. Initially, it was set to be released in March of 85, but the initial guitarist, who was Tracy Guns, left the band only to be replaced with the Amazing Slash, and the classic lineup was finalized. Many of the songs on the album were written while the band was performing on the LA club circuit, so most of them they had already ready to go. They just needed to sort of have, you know, management and album and record deal and the whole thing. Other songs considered to be on Appetite included Back Off Bitch, You Could Be Mine, November Rain, and Don't Cry.
Yeah, so that's the thing. November Rain and Don't Cry were written. Actually, Axl had been working on November Rain for like years. Mm-hmm. And but they felt, because of Sweet Child of Mine, they were like, well, we already have a slow song on this. We don't want to do two. Yeah, we don't want to do too much. Yeah.
And actually, that was funny because November Rain was a huge slow dance song in middle school. And then every time the boy would start to walk away during the pause, I'd be like, no, we're not done that. It's not over. I was the only one that usually knew that.
The boy. Wow.
Well, I knew the song. Mike Klink, who produced several Triumph records, produced Appetite for Destruction. Most of the songs reflect the band's personal experiences in daily life.
Did you know who was originally set? Oh, is
I
that on
knew
your list?
This. No, okay, go ahead. Okay.
Is it, I don't want to like interrupt
no,
you.
Go.
I'm just excited about it. Paul Stanley wanted to produce the band. And,
you couldn't afford him, right?
I think David Geffen was interested in Paul Stanley, too. But I think that Steven Adler, was it Steven Adler? Who was it? No, Matt Sorum was the second drummer. Steven Adler was the drummer. They clashed with Paul and Steven clashed over some stuff of creative differences. So Paul did not end up producing, but it was talked about. Now that could have been an interesting project.
It would have been different.
Yeah, it wouldn't have been what it is. But they were big Kiss fans. So, you know, they were excited about it, but just didn't, you know, it ended up one of those things that like just.
It might be for the better.
Could have been, but it didn't happen. Right.
So we're glad.
It was like
glad it happened the
Gene
way it did.
Simmons wanted to produce Van Halen. He had actually signed them to his record label before Templeman, but Kiss got wrapped up in a tour and stuff, and he felt bad, so he let them out of their contract because he was like, "You guys are going to be big, and I don't want to be the one holding you back." So these things happen.
I have a little bit on the artwork. The original artwork depicted a robotic rapist about to be punished by a metal Avenger. However, that was put on the inside cover as retailers refused to sell it and was replaced with the skulls of the band members with a Celtic cross. And that was originally a tattoo art designed by Billy White Jr.
Wait, a robot? I thought that was some kind of alien monster. The red thing?
Yeah.
Attacking the girl laying on the ground with the shirt off? Oh, God. That
That's
was
a robotic
robot?
Rapist.
Robotic rapist.
That's how they describe it.
Wow.
That's what they originally wanted on the cover. That went on the inside. For sales reasons.
Honestly, I think that the cover that they have is very cool, and it's very classic, mm-hmm. and it does communicate, I think, the vibe
of
what the record was about.
I think because it was designed by a tattoo artist, it really made sense for the album.
Yeah, so. A lot of stuff, cool stuff came together to make that really, really what it was. The artwork, the look, the whole thing. So what else you want to talk about?
Those are my tidbits on the backstory. Do you have anything you'd like to add to that?
I think I'll let you kind of go through the songs and we'll talk as we go.
All right, sounds good. So track listing, side one, Welcome to the Jungle. That is a great opening song.
Now, explain this about the song, because this is what I heard about Welcome to the Jungle. Maybe you have more information on it.
Sure.
MTV didn't want to play the video.
Let me see if I have that on here for any reason. At first, no, but I don't have a reason why. I know.
They felt that it was going to incite violence, that it was, you know, it was like too
violent. Makes sense.
And at the time, this was before that, but there was a Stones video that was very controversial called Undercover of the Night that MTV was very like, you know, they would play like real late at night and stuff like that because it was very violent things. And I think that they were nervous about, they were nervous about playing it. But what happened was David Geffen called.
Mm-hmm. And worked his magic.
Yeah, he worked his magic.
Geffen magic.
And then they played it one time. And then people started calling and writing and saying,
we want to see this.
Play that again. It was so great.
Axl wrote the lyrics while visiting a friend in Seattle, which I always thought it was about visiting L.A. It's a big city, but a small city compared to L.A. And he said he wrote that he wrote what he saw during the song. Now, Izzy said it's about the Hollywood streets. But Duff says he took it from a song he wrote called The Fake in 1978 for a band he was in called The Vanes. So, there's wonderful clashing in this band all the way through, as we already know.
Not to talk telltales out of school, but there probably was some substances involved and probably contributes to the confusion over it.
The video for the song, not played at first, but became MTV's most requested video of all time. And the song was featured in two video games, Guitar Hero 3 and Grand Theft Auto San Andreas. I have both.
And I believe it's in the movie. I'll have to look it up. It's a movie with Morgan Freeman about a school principal in a inner city school.
Probably.
And it's the song that opens the movie. I remember saying I'll have to look it up when we play the next song. But it's a really cool. It's not called Stand By Me. Stand By Me is a completely different movie. But it's like maybe Stand and Deliver. Something.
Maybe
no,
you're gonna have
no
to look
that's
that
the one
up.
With James. That's the one with Edward James with Elmos. I'll have to look it up. It's going to drive me crazy now. But this movie start because this is an inner city school and it's a total mayhem until Morgan Freeman shows up and kicks everybody in the ass.
Right.
They're showing this school and it's like a total madhouse and they're playing that song, Welcome to the Jungle. I'm like, yeah, pretty much.
Me and my friends, when we were in our early 20s, would get ready to go out to that song. And then when we were driving through Southside, would play the song with the windows down and we get catcalled and it was awesome. And that was way back when I was like 23 years old. So kind of miss those days.
Wow.
But yeah.
Yeah.
Good memories.
I love the song for the groove. I just love the fact that this was a really heavy band that had this really kind of grooving heavy rock tune that you could dance to. Like it had everything, but it was still tough. It wasn't like
it wasn't glammy.
It wasn't glammy. You know, it wasn't like, I mean, there were other heavy rock songs you could dance to that had come out of, you know, what I've taught my head is like Dance the Night Away by Van Halen, which is a softer, as Van Halen songs go with David Lee Roth, is a kind of quieter, softer kind of song. But there's nothing quiet or soft about Welcome to the Jungle. It's really in your face. But they had this amazing groove and amazing guitar work by the one and only Slash.
The one and only.
I mean, there is only one Slash. You know. So, anyways. What else you got?
It's So Easy is the next one on the track. It was actually released as the first single on the album. It's supposed to be an account of a time that the band was going through when they didn't have money. But of course, they, being musicians, they had a lot of hangers on and girlfriends that could they could live off of. So that's what the song is about. But I couldn't find much more on that song other than I like the song. And it's great. So
it's so easy when everybody trying to please me, please me. yeah. Yeah, that does happen. That's a kind of a rock and roll cliche. I mean, I think that is even in the dirt a bit, mm-hmm. that the guys are kind of like living off the girlfriends a little bit until they kind of make it.
The girls used to buy them spaghetti and hot dogs.
When you buy me spaghetti and hot dogs, I'm poor. So
rock star food.
Yeah, I mean, you know, where would we be without the vagina people, right? The vagina people always support rock music. God bless the vagina people.
I'm reading a book right now talking about one of them. But anyway.
You know what? Speaking of books, and we should read this book and do a podcast on it. I heard that there was just recently a book released about the life of Bon Scott.
Really?
Yeah.
Yeah, we're probably
going to do that. And a lot of famous people are interviewed in it.
I think we
like
should
that.
Read that. Make yeah. that. We'll do a book club. Yeah,
there we are. The Ludini Rock and Roll Circus. Maybe
we can do a book every month.
Yeah, we'll do a book club. I like that. Okay, so what do you got next?
All right, next on the list is Night Train, and this is one of my most favorite songs on the album. It was released as a single, but was not included in their best of, which I sort of think is a mistake. But it's a tribute to an infamous brand of cheap California wine.
Right, I heard it was about drinking.
Yes, called Night Train Express. It was popular with the band in the early days because of the low price and the high alcohol content. So you drank for cheap, which is what I like to
do. Got you whacked out.
But I'm sure they didn't feel good the next day, like often.
Well, happen. When you're young like that, you could drink. You could drink freaking lighter fluid.
Yeah, I sort of think that now when I'm this age.
There is
work.
A, excuse me. When they released the box set, there is a demo version of Night Train that I have heard. And it's pretty much identical to the way that it sounds. I mean, you know, it didn't really evolve all that much. It's basically it's just not as good. I hate to say it. It's just not as good. Like Ozzy's Boneyard plays it once in a while, you know, and I'll hear it. I'm like, and I go, oh, Night Train. I go, like, wait a minute.
It's not the right one.
This is the wrong Night Train. But it's just interesting. Like stuff like that is like, it's just a kind of like musicologist kind of like thing. Like you want to, what they were doing and this is how they kind of presented it, you know, to the label or whatever to get signed. So go ahead. What do you got?
Out to Get Me is the next one on the list. Not one of the more well-known songs unless you're a diehard GNR fan. It is a great song. Def said it was about when the cops busted down the band's door after Axl on bogus rape charges. And the incident inspired a song. However, the crime didn't happen, so he didn't do the time for it. But it's a great song anyway, so fabricated fun.
Ozzy's got a song on his new album called It's a Raid. And it's a story about him, and I can't remember who the other guy was. It's another famous person. Where he had like this giant freaking like TV tray of Coke. And Ozzy was pressing buttons on this on the wall, and one of them called the cops and said they were trying to snort all this coke. And he says the guy was with, I can't remember who it was, somebody famous was with him, and the guy was like flushing out of the toilet. It's like, and he's like, I couldn't waste all this cocaine. He said he was bouncing out the walls for like, you know, 4 or 5 days.
Well, that would be anybody then.
Oh, God. But yeah, so these things happen and rock and rollers write songs about them. This is like, you know, the Ludini Rock and Roll Circus behind the music. this is Revolution Highway, Young and Wild. We're going to come back and talk more about more Appetite for Destruction.
We'll be right back.
3 minutes and 42 seconds of balls deep rock and roll from Revolution Highway. Young and Wild, I think that kicks ass. I love that. Grooveyardrecords.com/Revolution Highway. If you like that kind of blues-based rock, like heavy blues-based stuff, go to grooveyardrecords.com. They have an entire catalog, and you can listen to samples, and you can get the records and everything right there. I love this record label. Martin Jespin Anderson, who we feature here sometimes, he's a buddy of mine on Facebook. He's on that label. His band is freaking killer. But if you like that kind of blues-based heavy rock, grooveyardrecords.com will get you. Grooveyardrecords.com/Revolution Highway. Great band. We opened the show with Black Laurel. I want to tell you guys, before we get back to
Appetite
for Destruction, I got to tell you guys, listen, man, there is, those of you guys out there who are musicians, there's this technique that guys are using to build a fan base called the follow-unfollow method. They do it on Twitter and they do it on Instagram, where what you do is you try to, you follow people, and when they follow, and if they don't follow you back, you delete them. And you do this, you do this whole thing over and over and over. You just, it's very random. And don't do that. Let me tell you what happened. I did that for a long time, and then I got away from Twitter. I just was like, I don't know. I'm on Facebook, so I don't, you know. So I decided I better look at my Twitter because I hadn't looked at it. And oh my God, look, I'm very, Lily knows this, I'm very like open minded person. I don't care whatever your thing is, as long as it's consenting adults. You know, do whatever you want to do.
We don't care what you do.
I don't care, but I do not want to see two men giving each other blowjobs.
You don't?
It's just not my thing. If that's your thing, that's cool. But my Twitter feed was all full of this, two guys giving each other blowjobs and guys jerking off. And I'm like, whoa, whoa, whoa. So I've been spending the past week just blocking and deleting and removing and then adding the stuff I want, which are, you know, there's tons of great rock blogs on there, tons of great rock podcasts, you know, just tons of like Twitter accounts that are just devoted to rock. People talk, you know, talking about bands and like that. So like, yeah, oh, so just don't. So somebody tries to talk you into do this follow unfollow thing. Just don't do it. If you want to create relationships online with people that are going to support what you do, you got to get with people who have the same interest as you. You can't just do this random follow unfollow thing. Okay. So enough said about that. It's just kind of a funny thing.
I'm disclaimer.
Like,
apparently,
what the heck is happening here on Twitter? And it was a lot of political BS too, which you guys know that, oh, I love that. So I was like deleting all that and blocking all that just crap. So anyways, I think I'm getting my handle on Twitter, and, I had a little interaction with Brian Adams this week, and I'll tell you guys about it on the after show. It's kind of interesting.
Word.
It's the cool thing about Twitter though, is you can talk to famous people. And sometimes they will talk back to you.
Michael Sweet does that with me.
Yeah, yeah.
Occasionally.
That's the cool thing about Twitter. You can't, for some reason, you can't get that on Facebook, but
because
on Twitter, you can do that.
People are crazy on Facebook.
So anyway, so we're Appetite for Destruction.
We're on.
As opposed to Countdown to Extinction, which is maybe another record we should talk about in the future, but go
maybe.
Ahead.
The next one on the track listing is Mr. Brownstone. Slash and Izzy wrote this tune while they were sitting in Izzy's apartment complaining about being heroin addicts, because that's something you talk
just
about.
Just sit around and complain, you know, it sucks being a heroin addict.
They improvised lyrics and music and came up with the song that we know. Brownstone is slang for heroin, for those of you who actually didn't know that. The song has a clear reference to the tolerance of the drug.
Used to do a little, but a little didn't get it. So what a little became more? What's the lyric?
You're asking me right now?
Yeah, used to do a little, but a little wouldn't get it, so a little became more. Something like that. Yeah. I have to look that. Again, it's something else I got to look up when I'm listening to a song.
The song has a clear reference to the tolerance of the drug that the drug causes. This was the first song the band wrote after being signed to Geffen. Is probably one of the top three songs on the album for me. I do love it. Didn't know that's what it was about when I was younger, obviously. Till probably hit my 20s. I didn't know that.
I used to do a little, but a little
yes,
wouldn't. Do so a little got more and more, and if that don't if that,
that
ain't about
it.
Drugs, I don't know what is.
It could be about sex.
No, it's about drugs. Definitely about drugs. So anyway, so we've been dancing with Mitt the Brownstone. Great song. I love that song.
I love
again,
his voice
that,
in that
song has a bad ass groove too. That these guys are the king of like this really. You know, the other there's other bands that like do the groove thing. Aerosmith. Yes, these are kind of, these guys people. Are like, these guys are like Aerosmith cranked up to 11. They're like, you know, just, and the other thing I liked about Guns N' Roses is I love, there is a punk attitude in what they do.
Oh, too. Yeah, for sure.
There's a punk attitude, which is very cool. Go ahead.
The next one on the list is probably one of the most known, which is Paradise City. It's the only song on the album to feature a synthesizer. It's frequently played at sporting events. Peaked at number 5 on the charts and became the band's third single to reach the number top 10. It was written in the back of a rental van as they were on their way back from a gig in San Francisco. It is often used as the rock show closer of the night. Slash says it's his favorite Guns N' Roses song. And Tom Cruise covered the song in the beginning of Rock of Ages, and it is also in the credits and the soundtrack.
Great tune. Paradise City was a club that they played. And Slash and I believe Adler showed up. Their car had broke down and they had to get there. And the name of the place was Paradise City. And that inspired the writing of the song Paradise City.
I love when songs mean something.
They all mean something. Sometimes the artist isn't real forthcoming about what they mean. Because what Bob Dylan eventually got tired of explaining his songs, and he said this, and I think a lot of artists, this is where their heads are about this. Is like, what does a song mean to you? See, so people would ask Dylan, like, what is this song? What does that mean? He goes, what does it mean to you? And that's really what it's about. Like, sometimes I want to know, but sometimes I'm like, I just want to be into, what the song means to me.
I kind of always want to know what they're thinking.
But sometimes I do.
I'm a female.
Yeah. Well, I mean, that's not necessarily a bad thing. Sometimes I do too, but then like, songs are like smells in the sense that a smell can take you back to a certain time. And a song will always do that. You remember, there's so many songs, I'm not going to get into right now, but I can remember a certain thing. Like, I remember I was doing this thing and that song came on the radio. I'll never forget it. I remember the first time I heard X song or this song. So that's why sometimes it's cool to know. And sometimes the artist is like, nah, what does it mean to you?
Just interpret it.
What do you got next?
Next is side 2 of the album. My Michelle. It's about
which is not the Beatles song.
It is not the Beatles song. Also, not one of my favorite names. It's about a friend of the band,
my Belle
Michelle Young, who is thanked in the Appetite cover sleeve. Slash knew her throughout junior high, she was a friend of his first girlfriend. According to Rose, he and her were in a car together, and Your Song came on by Elton John. And she mentioned that she had always wanted someone to write a song about her. How typical is that of a woman? It was an honest mm-hmm. interpretation about her drug addiction, the death of her mother, and her father's work in the porn industry. But she did like the song, and she did not have any problems. She had no problems with the song. She loved it, and she was happy that there was a song written about her.
That was Michelle's dad in the porn industry.
Oh my god! But I mean, what girl doesn't want a song written about her? I can't handle you. I'm surprised there isn't a song out there written about Lily and the guy killing me, quite honestly. Stop playing with the thing.
I keep forgetting. But last week, completely forgot about the sound effects.
That's okay.
So, I love the sound effects. They make me happy.
Do they?
I'll do one
here
more.
We go. All right, get out of here.
Okay, so what do you got after Michelle?
Think About You is the next song on the album. The song is credited with the whole to the whole band, but it was primarily composed by Izzy.
Oh, you said the whole band. I thought you meant the whole band.
Not whole. But it was primarily composed by Izzy, who also did the lead guitar in the song. It was very frequently played during the 1985... 1986 tour, and then never again until 2001, and not since 2010. So they have not played that song.
Those
since 2010.
Bastards!
Wow, it's a good song. It's not the best, but it's a good song.
Yeah, I have an interesting factoid about this album.
Please.
When you're done, but go ahead.
Oh,
what do you got?
I got more. The next one is "Sweet Child of Mine."
I never heard of it.
You are a dirty liar.
Never heard of that song. Not one time.
Wrong.
This is the third single released on the album and became the band's only...
You're out!
Only number one hit. Slash hates this song. The reason is because he was just screwing around with, I guess, what's called string skipping exercises. I'm not really sure what that is, but it became what it is. Axl added the lyrics that were inspired by his girlfriend Erin Everly. And as we know, Sheryl Crow did a cover of the song, even though I'm really not a fan of that cover.
Yep.
But that's fine. And you're going to play this. And there it is.
You can cheat by playing with your fingers. But the challenge to playing Sweet Child of Mine is to do it with picking as opposed to doing it with the fingers. You can, you know, if you do it with the fingers, it's easy.
Okay.
But if you try to pick, you have to, you it's easy to miss strings or skip strings if you do it with picking. Yes, really? He said it was a nightmare to put together because, like, all they had was that.
He was screwing around.
Yeah, he was just screwing around. So, like, no, let's do something with that. And he's like, okay. And and he said it was like pulling teeth to write the song because that's all that was. And he was a little disappointed that it became a ballad. Like, he's not really a ballad kind of guy.
I like it.
You know what I mean? Well, this was the big... This was really...
This was their
Welcome
number one
Welcome to the
song.
Jungle was a big song. But the song that real... This was their only, like, what?
This was only their number... This was their only number,
number
one.
Number one, yeah. And with Sweet Child of Mine... And this song was inescapable. The record came out in 87.
Yes.
In 88, you could not hear this song. It was everywhere. It was all the time. I was in a country band that was playing like really hardcore, old timey Hank Senior, Patsy Cline, Marty Robinson. People wanted us to play Sweet Child of Mine. I'm like, no.
I've had enough.
We don't do that. That's how big the song was. It had seeped like into the culture. And then there's that little thing that little sort of dance thing that Axl does, that swaying thing.
I used
that
to pretend that I could do that, and that I was obviously delusional.
I can't do it and look at the TV screen at the same time.
I have to stand up to do it, or it doesn't work.
So oh my God, it was so insane. When they played it on the radio stations cut half the guitar solo off, which I Slash didn't care one way or another because he didn't like the song, but it pissed Axl off. Axl was easy to piss off.
Oh man.
Did you have you know the story about him punching David Bowie?
Yes. I know the story about him just stopping a show. I know the story about him throwing microphones into the audience, tackling people. There's a lot of stories about Axl.
Well, I mean, I don't want to get into that just yet.
Right.
How many songs do you have? What do we got left?
We've got 1, 2, 3.
Okay, what do you got now? Wait, what time is it?
43.
let's play another song, then we're going to come back and wrap this bad boy up.
I took my glasses off.
This is Storm Dragon. I haven't played Storm Dragon in a long time. We're going to come back. This is Storm Dragon. Check it out. Ludini Rock and Roll Circus.
Winter the flame is of eternal pain. Annihilation dividing the laws. The righteous come forth as your feet is on. So silence is golden, I close my eyes. Strike me down by the edge of my sword. Princess of the Unholy Wands. Strike me down by the edge of my sword. Let the engine burn, the trail of destruction. My will to fight will be the final ending. When no one is saved from the force of the light. Strike me down by the edge of my sword. Let the engine burn, the trail of destruction. My will to fight would be the final ending. For no one is saved from the force of the light. Strike.
Storm Dragon, guys. Wow. That was like, that's pretty freaking intense.
It's epic. It's very Iron Maiden-esque.
Yes. Stormdragon.bandcamp.com. Opened the show with Black Laurel. Facebook.com/Black Laurel. Had a little Revolution Highway in there. Grooveyardrecords.com/Revolution Highway. I'm going to wrap up our talk here on the Gunners.
GNR
and all that.
Jenner.
Amy Shaw, can you get some Guns N' Roses on for lunch?
Wow, I can't stand you. The next song is You're Crazy. Another one of my favorite songs on the album, a little underrated. This one began as an acoustic song, and a lot of people prefer that version to the electric one that's found on Appetite, which I'm kind of surprised about. Yeah, I know. There goes Lou with his head shaking. But it's about a guy looking for love. Sorry. But encounters a lady who's only interested in the action, not the love. And he's telling her to look elsewhere because she's effing crazy.
Really?
Yep.
Really? There's crazy women? No. There's no such thing as... That's... You know what? That is a sexist stereotype being perpetrated by the patriarchy.
There's men looking for love over sex.
That's crazy. No men want love.
No, they do. They just want sex too.
Want sex too, yeah. I mean, sex without love without sex. That's not anything.
It's not anything.
That really is zero. That's like that's friends. You know, like I don't have sex with my friend. Kevin says, "Welcome to the bunghole." Do you have any comments you want to throw out there?
I'm sorry, sure. What is going on?
Oh, I got it. Kevin texted me. He said, "Welcome to the bunghole."
Nice.
Do you have any comments or anything you want to read from these morons out here that call themselves? No, you guys aren't morons. I'm kidding around.
Eric Anthony. Hey, Lou and Lily.
Eric Anthony.
Chris Thunderwolf. Keith Hawkins is watching. He goes, "People do heroin?" Question mark.
Sharing heroin.
Eric Anthony said, "Just come out of that closet. You're amongst friends."
Of course he said that.
That doesn't surprise me. Jody for Lizzie put a little fire symbol.
Jody! Doctor! That's Doctor for Lizzie.
Sorry, well, I didn't see Doctor on there.
She's a doctor.
And it cut me off, so I did see that
Josh Bonadore. Hey, Jody, are we going to play watching Doctor on Sunday? Oh, sorry, go ahead. Who else?
No, it's good. Nobody else.
Nobody. What? Wow. Everybody hates me. Nobody likes me. Think I'll eat some worms.
Anyway, the next song on the album is Anything Goes.
Well, yeah, that happens.
And there it is. This song was written well before we knew who Guns N' Roses were, dated back to the early 80s, roots of the band. It's one of the most rarely performed GNR songs in the catalog. It's loud and aggressive and a nod to the sleazy beginnings of the band. It's literally all about sleazy, dirty sex, no inhibitions, the rock and roll way. And funny how that's after You're Crazy. I think that's great. Talking about a man who wants love.
Well, you know, we just don't want crazy.
Sorry for ya. All the women are crazy.
I can't remember what comedian, this was a comedian from like way back when, had this bit about like, you know, he says when you ask a guy like why the relationship broke up, he's like they always have the same reason.
They're crazy.
They were just
every
crazy
every single time.
And,
you know,
and he says, "Yeah, I don't get it. I banged a sister and she went crazy."
That's a very Italian way you did that.
Rocket Queen. Did you talk about Rocket Queen yet?
That's the last one.
Okay, we're going to talk about Rocket Queen in a minute. Go ahead.
Which is my very favorite song on the entire album, of course. By far. It's a great way to end the album, and also has a great story. Slash states he wrote the main riff with Duff when they first got together in the band Road Crew. According to Rose, he wrote the song for a girl who was going to have a band called Rocket Queen. it has hope and a friendship note at the end of the song, I guess. For that song, he wanted to record a sex act that he states was sort of a spontaneous but premeditated thing that he wanted to have happen, even though that sort of contradicts each other. Credit for being the Rocket Queen goes to Barbie Von Greif, who Axl was infatuated with at the time, and she had a notorious reputation and was called the queen of the underground scene. So apparently she was some sort of a groupie who did all the guys jealous.
Wait a minute. Who's Adriana Smith then?
I'm not done.
She was... Lodania jumping in ahead of me. I'm trying to talk you.
Barbie is the one who the song is about.
Okay.
As for the sexual recording, Adler had been seeing Adriana Smith for about a year. Adler insisted that they were not a thing on a TV interview. She went to the mixing sessions at the Media Sound Studios in New York City. Rose and Slash were both there.
Wrong thing to say, Adler. Sorry.
Rose talked her into having sex in the sound booth so that the sounds produced could be recorded and added to the song, and she agreed to do it for the band and a bottle of Jack. Smart girl. Afterward, Adler found out, and of course he freaked out, which led her to feel guilty about what she did. And I'm telling you what, I wouldn't be guilty. I'd be proud of that shit.
And boom goes the dynamite.
Funny, wow. Her name's Adriana. What a great name.
Yeah.
That's a beautiful name.
It is a beautiful... Adrian!
And here we go.
The vinyl sides were called G... And are typically when you see guys do young remember vinyl, typically you had side A and side B. Instead of on Appetite, they did G and R for Guns and Roses. You know, I know, but that's what they did. Okay, I'm just saying, I'm just trying to pull out some extra crap.
I know.
Extra crap. It cost $370,000 to make, which is pretty pricey.
That's kind of.
I mean, debut amazing. Album, the record label taking a kind of a big chance to give these young upstarts, you know, the money to do that. Let's talk very quickly about, I wanted to talk about this thing right here. Where is it? About the David Bowie thing, which I had in front of me and now I can't find.
And you touched something and now you can't find it.
He touched me and oh, the joy that fills my soul.
This is what I have to put up with. Do you hear this?
It's so easy. Later on, received a video treatment. Wasn't released until the U.S. until last year. The video features Erin Everly, Rose's first wife.
Yeah.
And the inspiration behind the song Guns N' Roses, dressed in bondage. David Bowie dated Slash's mom and thus had a relationship with the guitarist, showed up for the video shoot drunk. And apparently flirted with Everly. Rose didn't like that much. The hot-headed singer, Axl Rose, yes, hot-headed singer, threw some blows at Ziggy Stardust and insulted him from the stage during their performance later. Eventually, they made up, but to think Bowie was once on Rose's shit list is comical. That's kind of funny. You know, and of course, we alluded to Rose's crazy behavior. You know, there was the famous thing that happened with Metallica, where the two played together, and... Metallica, James Hetfield's arm caught on fire and they had to emergency take him to the hospital, and Guns N' Roses came out and played for like 10 minutes.
That whole show was just bad.
Axl didn't like the monitor, so he said, we're done, and then it was a riot. And,
and history.
Yeah, and that's the history of the big GNR.
Yes. Appetite for Destruction.
So that is Appetite for Destruction. Ludini Rock and Roll Circus. You've been listening to. Guys, thanks so much at Rock Rage Radio. Shout out to Wolf's Customs. Wolf's Customs.online. Check them out. Get that guitar custom painted, guys. That way you can jam out to some Guns N' Roses and look like a freaking rock star while you're doing it. Axl Rose / Eat Your Heart Out. Thank you, Rock Rage Radio, for bringing us into the fold there and having us. We do appreciate you, Rock Ragers. Always check us out on Tuesday nights at 9 p.m. on Facebook, YouTube, and YouTube as well. We also simulcast on YouTube. The best way to find out all that you want to know about the Ludini Rock and Roll Circus podcast and everything is go to LouLombardiRocks.com. We do a lot of cool stuff there that you can find out about. We have a great community of folks that we hang out with all week long. We talk about music, share funny stuff and cool music stuff, and get into great conversations. And you can find out more about that at LouLombardiRocks.com. Lily V6 from Rock Rage Radio is my co-host here. Love her. And Lily has her own show. Why don't you tell the folks about that?
I do have my own show. It's called Hot Licks with Lily 6, Thursday nights at 6 p.m. Eastern on Rock Rage Radio. You can download the app for free, or you can just go to RockRageRadio.com, or you can come and say hi to me tomorrow at the Subalpine. I'll be bartending for the March Radness Tour of Stonecutters, Lich King, Toxic Ruin, and Greywalker. I think the show starts at 7.
I also want to mention real quick, just to toot our own horn a little bit more. We just discovered this week that we have made a couple of lists, including Feed Spots list of top podcasts, rock podcasts to watch in 2020, along with the likes of Eddie Trunk. We showed up at number 8 on the list. Very honored, very excited about that.
That is awesome.
Out of all the podcasts out there to be on that list. So apparently we are giving you guys something that you want to hear. So thank you so much. We do appreciate that. If you want to know more, you want to hang out more with us, go to LouLombardiRocks.com. Great show tonight with Black Laurel, Revolution Highway, and Storm Dragon. This is my band, Lou Lombardi, Strange Love, The Killing. You guys have a great week. We'll talk to you on the next Ludini Rock and Roll Circus.